In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us this morning quiet our voices and pause in our minds in prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have come here before your holy word, we desire to thank you for all the blessings you have given unto us. So many blessings. We cannot imagine them all. And when we try to list them, there's so many, we forget so many. But our humble thoughts are that you would accept our thanks for all. That you have given unto us. But we yet ask of thee, dear Father, that you would come to be with us through your Spirit this morning, that you would open your word, and you would open the doors of our heart that we could receive your word. And greatest of all, that we could believe your word. For we know and believe that if we can remain as your children unto the end, there's a reward that waits for us. And we yet pray on behalf of those that are not members of your kingdom here upon the earth, that they could still hear your call, and that they also could have a chance of being a member of your kingdom here on the earth, and then forever in heaven. And we yet turn to thee with that prayer that your Son has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. In Jesus' name, we will pause before God's word as the evangelist Matthew has recorded in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, verses 13 and 14. And as we hear these words, let us consider the theme that has been noted for this Sunday. And the theme is two opposing things, truth and falsehood. The words are in Jesus' name as follow. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, And broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen. This portion is noted on the calendar for this Sunday. And it's towards the concluding end, or we could say it's the conclusion, or part of the conclusion to a sermon that Jesus kept on, which we referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. That place that Jesus kept that sermon was, well, the Bible refers to it, or we refer to it as the Sermon on the Mount, but it was actually more like a great hill that sloped down towards the Sea of Galilee. There was many people that came to hear what Jesus had to say. It was at the beginning of his ministry. He was 30 years old or thereabouts when he began to speak publicly. And that people took notice of the things that he did and the things that he said. God was upon the earth for those 33 years of his life. The Bible says that God was in his Son. And even though God was here in his Son, there were many that did not believe in him. We can even say that God is here upon the earth even today. And there are many that do not believe even this, that God is here upon the earth. We can say that God is here this morning in our midst. He travels with his children. He's in the hearts of those that believe his word. So he is in you that have believed. He is in you that have received as a gift from him the forgiveness of all your sins. He has washed your heart free of sin, and he has placed his Spirit there. And that Spirit is a Spirit that wants to live in the unity of his kingdom, in harmony with his word. As we mentioned at the beginning of this service, the theme is truth and falsehood. What is the truth? We remember from God's word how Jesus was, he was brought before a council of men during his time. And this council was made up of learned people, those that had studied the Old Testament writings, those people that worked in the temple there in Jerusalem, those that recorded by hand God's word, Jesus was brought before that type of group of people to be questioned about his words, about his life, about everything that he had done. There was many accusations that were leveled or placed against the Lord Jesus, God. But none of them, the Bible says that they couldn't agree on any of them, because there was no falsehood in anything he did. The kingdom of God is also blameless before this world. Certainly, as we sit here this morning, we can't say that I am a blameless man, that I personally have not sinned. But the kingdom of God is perfect. The kingdom of God is a kingdom that lives and believes according to God's word. That's a perfect kingdom. It doesn't go about to change the teachings of God's word to satisfy any human intellect. But it is a kingdom that accepts the teachings of God's word in its entirety. At the beginning of our text, Jesus gives this exhortation to the listeners. And it's the same exhortation that we would need to hear today. Do you remember what the opening sentence to our text was? He encourages his listeners to enter in at the straight gate. What do you suppose this straight gate is that Jesus was referring to? We also need encouragement. There was once a man that came to Jesus. He had a son that was possessed of an infirmity of this temporal life. I'm not sure what it was. But he came to Jesus with his son. If I can find it, maybe we will read what this man had to say. From the 17th verse of the 9th chapter of Mark, it says in this way, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answered him, he said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I'm sure we can all relate to what this father might have been thinking. Many of us have children of our own. And I'm sure we've all had this request in our prayers, feeling like we have such limited abilities to teach of the way that leads unto eternal life. I'm sure many of us have even experienced with our children some accident maybe, or some temporal infirmity of life, that we felt so powerless to help that child. So this man told Jesus, he says, if thou canst do anything, or if it's your will that you don't do anything with my son, have compassion on us and help us. That's a good prayer for all of us to have. We know that God has power over all things. And when we're struggling with some matter of life, whether it be physical or spiritual, that we would have that simple prayer to God. Have compassion on me and just help me to believe according to your word and your will. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Certainly we know that all things are possible to God, and we believe in such a simple way. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. And in the same breath he follows it up with this. He says, help thou mine unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. Unbelief is close to all of us. It's not very far away. Lord, help thou me from unbelief. So we can understand then this exhortation, the beginning of our text, to enter ye in at the strait gate. Or we could say it's a straightforward gate. It's not all convoluted and complex. You need to understand it with human intellect or reason or any of those things. It's simply to believe as children. You parents, how is it there in your home when you have those little children and you teach them about the kingdom of God and the way to everlasting life? Do you feel the need to dig deep? To get a long-handled dipper and dip way into the deep into the well of understanding? Or is it just simply enough to believe God? Believe His Word. Believe that what Jesus has done for you, that you can believe. Just as you are. All sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. That is the straightforward way. That is the straight gate that leads unto eternal life. And he follows up that exhortation with these words. He says, "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." And he says, "And many there be that go in thereat." There was once one of the disciples of Jesus came to Jesus, and I think it's from the 13th chapter according to St. Luke, and he had this question. He must have noticed during the time of Jesus, even though there were great multitudes of people that traveled with the Lord Jesus, and he fed multitudes of people with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fishes at a couple different times. There were thousands there. But it must have, one of the disciples must have thought, as we sometimes think, from this 13th chapter of Luke, it records this question. Well, it was, I don't know if it was the disciple or who it was that asked this question here. But nonetheless, the question is this. He says, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" That's an interesting question. Maybe it was noticed by this person that there's not many. Even though there might have been thousands there, in comparison to all the people there, he must have had a question like we probably have thought in our own minds. And so Jesus, how do you suppose he answered that question? He didn't give them a number. It's like they're 10,000 or 70,000. We heard from our dear brother last Sunday. There was 70,000 people there at the summer services there in Finland. And that's a great number of people. That would, well, the biggest dome, it's no longer a dome here in Minneapolis, but it would have filled that. That's a lot of people. But Jesus didn't answer that question in that way. He didn't give them a number. But he gave them this exhortation, almost the same words at the beginning of our text. Jesus says, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able to." So why would some seek to enter in and not be able to? For the Bible says that, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all things will be added unto you." So Jesus is speaking then, I would say that He's referring to that there's many that would seek to enter in. Maybe after it's too late. Maybe there are some that have left the kingdom of God. And because of words that should have not been spoken, maybe the doors to the kingdom of God are no longer open unto such a one. There's one sin that the Bible says it can never be forgiven, and that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of God. Now that's a dangerous thing for us to consider. And it makes me, a sinful man, tremble. And it makes me want to go back in my life and search for, has there been those times in my life where maybe I've committed that sin? But I believe that if a man has committed that sin, he would not desire to be in the hearing of God's word. For that word would remind, and it would be a painful thing for a man to endure. And I can't sit here this morning and explain to you what that sin is in particular. And I think it's with good reason that it's not specifically defined, so that we as children upon the earth, as God's created people, would be careful in what we say. And if there's one listening here this morning that has left the kingdom of God and is traveling that broad way that leads to destruction, God wishes to remind you to be careful. So that question that was asked Jesus, he says, are there few that be saved? That wasn't such an important question to have an answer to. The most important thing is Jesus led the man away from the answer to the question to a more meaningful thing, was to enter in, strive to enter in at the straight gate. That gate is the Lord Jesus. At that gate, one can leave all sin there. I wonder how many it seems in my mind as I think of that this morning, there must be a great pile of sin there at that gate. For man cannot enter into the kingdom of God with sin, but it must be left there at the gate. And those sins, and if there's one here, if there's one listening this morning that has lots of sin, unforgiven sin, and has been traveling that broad way, that gate is before you this morning, and you can believe and leave all sin there at the gate and enter in. You can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And come in through that gate into the kingdom of pardoned sinners. There's not perfect people here, but there's people that have been forgiven their sins. Just recently I was visiting with a dear brother, and there was one that had asked this question that, well, where in the Bible does it say that you can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood? It's not the word that comes through the clay lips of man that forgives the sin. But it's the Spirit of God mixed with the Word of God that forgives the sin. That's an important concept for us to understand. We cannot forgive sin without the Spirit of God. But God forgives sin through His Spirit. And that was the whole purpose that Jesus came into this world, to pay for the debt of sin. The Bible says in this way that there is no other name under heaven where a man's sins can be forgiven except under the name of the Lord Jesus. Through His name and through His blood, the sins can be forgiven. And Jesus, when He lived here upon the earth, before He left this earth, He met with the disciples and He gave them some keys. Now we know what keys are for. I'm sure many of us have keys in our pocket, and if you don't have a key for your car, it won't start. And it won't go anywhere. And so it is that the keys to the kingdom have been left with the kingdom of God. And you, dear brothers and sisters, have access to the keys of this kingdom. And you can give them, you can make copies of them and give them to another, so that they also could come in and that they also could forgive man their sins. Jesus says, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever sins ye forgive, they are forgiven unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Or in other words, whosoever sins are not forgiven here on the earth, they are not forgiven in heaven. There was only one reason that Jesus came into this world, and it was because man had fallen short of the glory of God. Man had fallen into sin. And you, dear brothers and sisters, can be encouraged with this good news that your sins have been atoned for, and you can believe, just as you are, that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Dear brothers and sisters, although there may be only a few that believe according to God's word, you who have accepted this message, that Jesus loved you. God loves you. And He's forgiven you your sins. You're one of those few that the Bible speaks of that is heading towards eternal life in heaven. There's only few that will find it. The Bible says, and I think even further on in this same chapter, that at the end there's the end when there was those that came before. And the Bible says, and Jesus says, that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So not all those that say that they believe in Jesus and call Him Lord will enter into heaven. But He says that, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? So certainly we can see in the world around us those as we would consider to do good works. And we would never encourage a man to do other than to do nice things to each other. Even those that do not walk with us as children of God, we would not want to discourage them from doing nice and kind things to each other. But that is not what saves a man from sin. What saves a man from sin is to believe in the work that Jesus did for us. And by first believing in that, then we, the fruits of faith, then follow. Even as the Bible says that wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. If we sit here this morning and listen to God's Word and then this afternoon go out and do those worldly things, those aren't fruits of faith. The fruit of faith is that we would desire to live according to the Word of God. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. How is it possible when we're such great sinners that we could do the will of God? There's only one possible way that we can please God, as the Bible says, and that's by faith. And by faith we're able to live according to God's Word. It's not possible any other way except by faith. So be encouraged this morning, dear brothers and sisters, to remain traveling on that narrow way that leads unto eternal life in heaven. Do not become discouraged and reject this way because it's so difficult. There's so many temptation that wants to lead me away from this narrow way. Do not be discouraged, but be encouraged to believe just as you are, even your latest sins of the journey forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And I also, dear brothers and sisters, have come here carrying such familiar doubts. That am I still traveling on the narrow way of life? Can I believe my latest sins and doubts forgiven this morning? I want to travel on that way that leads to everlasting life. Certainly it's not an easy way. It's a battle to remain on that way. But that is where the Lord Jesus is found, and He wants to help you along the way. He doesn't demand perfection, but He encourages you to remain trusting and believing your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our service this morning in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.